This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. I guess you probably heard there was a shooting last week out at Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam in Honolulu, Hawaii, where a sailor, they know he was active duty, but they haven't released his name yet, and they don't know a motive, but he was a sailor on a submarine, the USS Columbia. He took his own life, but not before killing two other DOD employees. So they locked down the base for a little while, and here's what the commander had to say about it.
I can report that Joint Base security personnel did respond to the report of an active shooter today in the vicinity of Dry Dock 2 in the Naval Shipyard. I can confirm that there were three shooting victims. We have confirmed that two are deceased. One is in stable condition in a local hospital. I can also report that the shooter, who has tentatively been identified as an active duty sailor assigned to USS Columbia, SSN 771, is also deceased by an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Well, I was at that base just a few years ago, and we made a really dynamite documentary about the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, because for the United States, World War II started there at Pearl Harbor, but it also ended there at Pearl Harbor on VJ Day. And we did a really cool documentary about it with my good friend, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. So I'm going to play that whole thing for you today. And so I just want you to sit back and enjoy this.
For the United States, World War II began here at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, shortly after dawn on Sunday, December 7th, 1941. The surprise attack devastated the backbone of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, tied up here on Battleship Row. A day later, President Franklin Roosevelt asked Congress to declare war on the Empire of Japan.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
3 years and 9 months later, on September 2nd, 1945, the bloodiest war in history ended right here on the deck of the USS Missouri, battleship number 63.
The terms and conditions upon which surrender of the Japanese Imperial forces is here to be given and accepted are contained in the instrument of surrender now before you.
I'm Oliver North, and you're about to learn some things about these momentous events you very likely have never seen or heard until now. Though U.S. Navy codebreakers warned of an imminent attack on U.S. Navy and Army installations here in Hawaii, that information was passed only to Washington, but not to Admiral Husband Kimmel or General Short, the senior U.S. commanders here on Oahu. The result? Nearly 3,000 American dead and wounded here in Hawaii, our powerful Pacific Surface Fleet nearly wiped out, the island's aviation assets, mostly at Hickam Field, in smoking ruins.
Shortly before 0800 on the 7th of December, Sunday morning, Yamamoto's first wave took this route, coming right straight across the island to attack Pearl Harbor. Of course, those high rises weren't there to guide them, but they knew where they were going because spies had told them the straight course to take to hit the fleet at Pearl Harbor. This is Battleship Row. Every one of the U.S. surface ships tied up here on the morning of December 7th, 1941, was struck by Japanese bombs or torpedoes, and in some cases, both. The bookends of USS Missouri, where the war ended, on September 2nd, 1945, and at her bow, the White Memorial to the USS Arizona, where the war began on December 7th, 1941.
Though devastating, the Japanese attack wasn't a total victory. Admiral Yamamoto's pilots missed the Pearl Harbor submarine base and failed to destroy millions of gallons of precious fuel. Most importantly, the Pacific Fleet carriers were at sea on an exercise and were unscathed. While rescue and salvage operations were still underway here, tens of thousands of volunteers lined up at recruiting stations. But some of those who stepped forward to fight for the U.S. were turned away.
They classified us now as enemy aliens. My, that was a big blow.
Jiro Yakamura was a U.S. Army lieutenant. Yakamura is a Nisei, a second-generation Japanese-American who grew up in Hawaii. On the day Pearl Harbor was attacked, he was a college student.
This is Sunday, right? And we were ready to go to a Christian church when the news came. And so naturally, we didn't go to church. And then just listen to the radio what was taking place.
Several planes have been shot down, and anti-aircraft gunnery is very heavy. Everyone here in the islands were taken by surprise by the attack, and even yet it's difficult for some people to believe that our air raid on these beautiful islands has actually happened.
Then the next day, they were calling for volunteers and those of us who had some military training, ROTC at the university. And at least we knew how to handle a gun. When we volunteered, they gave us a 1903 rifle with one clip of five rounds and then sent us to guard different areas to see possible Japanese coming back, this time not by air but by sea. And we did this for a while until they call us back and then they kick us out because of our Japanese ancestry.
There was a big fear of a lot of the Japanese Americans might be spying or committing sabotage or espionage against the U.S. after the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Here you were doing your best and then, you know, they say, you're not needed already, you enemy alien, they classify that.
You know, they're American citizens just like everyone else. They had a right to serve their country, be treated just like everyone else.
1 year later, they said they will form the all-Japanese unit that 442nd was born.
They had a lot to prove, I mean, to the American public, that they were patriotic Americans. They weren't traitors, they weren't saboteurs, they weren't spies. So they had to go above and beyond.
For Hawaii, the quota was to get 1,500 soldiers, but 10,000 of us volunteered. So we weren't saying that we were just disappointed with the way we were treated. Hell, you know, no. We were ready to do our part.
U.S. Army Nisei soldiers were present at every major battle across the Pacific. Yakamura was attached to a specialized unit of Japanese Americans that served a vital role. He was one of 6,000 Nisei to serve in the military intelligence service.
On September 2, 1945, the bloodiest war in history ended right here on the deck of the USS Missouri.
This ship was built for war, for no other reason than for war. But soon after its launching, it instead became an eternal symbol of peace.
By that time, I was attached to the public relations office. And then naturally, they're going to cover the news and MacArthur make sure that he had enough publicity. So the correspondents were taken good care of. And fortunate for me, being with them, that was my lucky break. That morning, the destroyer came and then took us in the middle of Tokyo Bay, and here the Missouri was.
There were so many things happening, and every single event was planned out and timed down to the second, and was filled with symbolism and meaning. the fact that MacArthur and Nimitz insisted that the Japanese delegation wait for them rather than vice versa. And so that, as a consequence, they had to turn around and go back into the captain's cabin while the Japanese delegation was set. The fact, if you look at the surrender documents, the Allied copy is bound in bright, brand new leather, and the Japanese copy is bound in ratty old canvas. I mean, you can go on and on and on of all the symbolism that occurred. For everyone there, I think that they knew that the worst conflict in the history of man was ending. A war in which 60, 80 million people, most of them civilians, lost their lives. Everyone knew there that they were witnessing a moment in history that they would remember their entire lives.
The sailors all lined up over there. You go get up to the gangplank and go through them. And so all the dignitaries would come in and stand over there.
Lining the deck right here were all the admirals who had been invited to witness the ceremony, along with the representatives of the Allied powers who were signing it. The Japanese representatives came up the starboard side bridge right there and stood at attention in front of a table that had been pulled out of the mess decks.
They found a little desk for the ceremony, just a table. Plain table, they got it from the kitchen.
The British had been assigned to bring the table for the ceremony, and about 2 hours before the ceremony, they showed up with this little beautifully carved mahogany table, which MacArthur's chief of staff told them to get rid of because it was too small for the documents. The ceremony began at 9:02 and was over in 20 minutes. The Japanese delegation signed first, then MacArthur signed with six pens.
MacArthur would sign, and then after signing, he'll give his pen, the one he used, to one of the general.
And then subsequently, each of the representatives of the powers, of the Allied powers, signed. Also, all of the admirals, including MacArthur, were in just their regular day wear, their day fatigues, because for them, this was another day at the office, and they wanted the atmosphere to be like that. You know, the Japanese were in formal wear, but not the Americans. In MacArthur's speech, there was no words of triumph or vindictiveness or bitterness or anything like that. You know, he truly said this is an end to the conflict and a new beginning, and we need to focus on the future and not the past.
We are gathered here, representatives of the major warring powers, to conclude a solemn agreement whereby peace may be restored. The issues involving divergent ideals and ideologies have been determined on the battlefields of the world, and hence are not for our discussion or debate. As Supreme Commander for the Allied Powers, I announce it my firm purpose, in the tradition of the countries I represent, to proceed in the discharge of my responsibilities with justice and tolerance, while taking all necessary dispositions to ensure that the terms of surrender are fully, promptly, and faithfully complied with. Let us pray that peace be now restored to the world, that God will preserve it always.
The price of American victory in World War II is on display here at the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific, just a few miles from Pearl Harbor. Known as the Punch Bowl because of its shape, this is the final resting place for 34,000 American heroes. None of these Americans interred here or elsewhere wanted to die in the defense of freedom. But 400,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, guardsmen, and Marines sold their lives dearly in epic battles during the 1,366 days from Pearl Harbor to VJ Day. They were willing to do their duty with courage and perseverance, qualities that require us to honor their legacy. Today, that same sense of duty and self-sacrifice inspires another generation of brave Americans willing to go into harm's way to protect us all. Now retired, the USS Missouri is a national treasure, a perfect bookend for visitors who come to pay tribute to those entombed in the USS Arizona, just off the battleship's bow. For all she represents, American strength and resolve, this is a 60,000-ton reminder that sometimes defending freedom takes more than just talk. Sometimes we have to have the big guns back it up.
And if you're not watching it on YouTube, you should be, because this thing is awesome. Go check it out.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.